Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude our study titled, A Final Word About the Whore, from our text in Revelation chapter 18, verses 21 to 24. This is part 2 of 2.
I'm sure he could show one after the other. This I've seen on TV actually before. It's massive. I mean, look at the people. This is a man-sized crucifix down here, and look how all this stuff around. I mean, you know, in the flesh, you look at that and you're like, oh, that's amazing, that's fascinating, how beautiful. No, but you know, if you have the Spirit of God in you, it just makes you sick. I mean, they rip people off. The Roman Catholic Church through the years ripped people off. They raped and pillaged and got a lot of their money. The Knights of Knights of Columbus, or I can't remember. That's, I just was reading in the book The History of Money, and they had a huge amount of money. So what did the Pope do? The Pope used the armies of the governments to go in and kill all the men and take all the money. And in today's terms, it was billions of dollars. And they've done that over and over and over, to steal and kill and destroy like the devil. That's what Roman Catholicism history is. And they've got it all hoarded up in there and still telling people they don't have enough money and they need you to give to help the poor. He says, Jake continues, most have coffins encased in glass around the edge of the interior of the cathedrals, and people are constantly praying to them. And no one seems concerned that they are, in fact, praying to a dead guy. It is very sad. Yes, it is very sad. These people are on their knees in front of a sculpture of somebody on a cross that's not Jesus Christ, and they're praying to a devil. Devil. And they do not represent biblical Christianity at all. It's a complete farce. It's a complete opposite. It's exactly what you expect from a whore. She's got plenty of money. Sells herself. He continues, inside Peter's basilica, there was an absolutely uncomfortable feeling present that any saved person would feel instantly. Just felt evil to be in there, and me and my wife couldn't stay any longer. I know. I would have to feel the same way. And look, over and over, these are only a few of the pictures that could be shown of these multi-million, tens of millions of dollars every time you see a picture. And there's a devil, probably, I imagine, pretending to be Mary. She's standing on a globe with a bunch of children, you know, sculpted around it. And there's probably supposed to be Peter. Who knows? There's a couple of cherubim over here. People go in and pray to this thing. They're praying to a devil. And that is a great picture, really, to represent a woman, or the woman in the Bible, who rides the beast. He closes, when you see it all in person, it is obvious there is no concern for anyone's soul there, and that it is indeed everything you have taught on the through the Revelation series. There's nowhere else on earth even close. Amen. That's just a letter of confirmation to those who have eyes to see and ears to hear. They've gone through Revelation 17 with us and actually gone to the Vatican and seen it and taken pictures and documented and testified what they saw. The Vatican not only holds her wealth from the poor and needy, but she has blood on her hands. And by the way, I want to thank Jake for those pictures, and I'll send him an email of thanks as well. But she has blood on her hands. That's why verse 24 says, and in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. If you understand that the spirit behind modern Roman Catholicism runs all the way back to Nimrod and even possessed Cain, the first murderer, then you will understand this verse when it says, and of all that were slain upon the earth. In her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. And if you don't understand that, you haven't been watching this series or paying attention, or you don't believe what you see, and then we can't, like I said, that's all we can do. We can just take a horse to water. We can't make him drink. But the facts bear this out. And only when you understand these things will you then be able to understand the wrath of the Lamb. You know, a big problem people have. I've had people, well-meaning people, say, I read the book of Revelation, but I don't ever want to read it again. Why? Well, it's just such a violent book. It's just a dark book. There's so much death in it. Well, it is. It is. That's not false witness. But your perspective's wrong. You didn't start with the idea and truth of the holiness of God. And you did not start with the idea and truth of the depravity and wickedness of man. And when you don't understand how holy God is, and you don't understand how wicked man is, and you certainly, this person I talked to certainly had no concept of the wickedness of the mystery, Babylon, the whore, the woman that rides the beast, had no concept of that and had no idea who it was, then that's why that person had no ability to really wrap her mind around the wrath of the Lamb. But I tell you, I have no problem with it. There was, you know, 20 years ago when I read it, it was a little heavy. But I don't have any problem with it. As a matter of fact, when I see the reality and you see what's going on around the world today, if you don't have the understanding and concept and acceptance of the wrath of the Lamb on this planet, then you don't even know what's happening today on planet Earth, let alone the entire history of man. And you see all the rape and the killing and what's going on with a billion people supporting the death cult of Islam, and all the babies being butchered in their mother's womb, and they've been thrown in trash cans and thrown into landfills, and their blood cries out. And then they took cells from fetal tissue, as they call it, dead baby tissue, and put it in products that they've sold, makeup, food, everything. I mean, it's just sick. And you think about all these things, and you look at what Jesus is about to do. The only question you have is, what's taking him so long? That's the only question I have. And when he comes back, he is going to destroy his enemies. He's going to destroy the wicked. He's going to destroy the woman who rides the beast. In our study of Genesis 15, we discussed the reason Israel had to remain in Egypt for 430 years. And in our Genesis studies, you go to Genesis, study number 40, Genesis 15, verses 15 to 16, you'll see that there's a reason why God put this off. And so when I say, what's taking you so long, I understand that God has his standard, but only he knows. Only he really knows when this is going to be met. And he was telling Abraham back there in Genesis 15, he's telling the future, thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, thou shalt be buried in a good old age, but in the fourth generation they shall come hither again. He was prophesying the Israelites would go down there for four generations, and then they would come back out. He said, "What? You know, natural question, why that long? Why was it going to go that long? For the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full." When you read the story of Exodus and Moses bringing the children of Israel out, and you see all that, and you realize it's been 400 years. Folks, this country was founded in 1776. I mean, we're just over 200 years, a little past 200 years, and look how we look at our own history. Double that amount of time, and that's how long the Jews were in Egypt. It's an amazing thing if you think it through. Why did God wait that long? Because the land that God had promised to Abram, he would promise to Isaac, he would promise it to Jacob, he would promise it to the offspring and children of Israel. He would reestablish and confirm that covenant with Moses in Deuteronomy. But they had to wait to this before Joshua could lead them into the promised land. Amorites, their iniquity wasn't full. Well, that just tells us that iniquity of the Gentiles isn't full yet. Fast forward to our present day, and when the Gentile iniquity is full, the rapture takes place. This will set the stage for Daniel 70 of the week and the fullness of the Gentile coming to an end. You see, right now I believe that when the rapture takes place, God has chosen, He knows the future, and He has chosen that at some point that last person is going to come into the body of Christ, and He's going to then rapture the body out. And then at some point after that, the covenant is confirmed, Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 and 27. And once they set up that temple and start the sacrifice, that's the beginning of the 70th week. They'll confirm it, they'll have a date, they'll have probably to be a big ceremony, and they'll start the sacrifice in the temple, and that starts the 70th week. There was no church in the previous 69. The church has been removed. The temple is established. The blood sacrifice begins, and that's the 70th week. The seven-year countdown begins. And at that time is when the fullness of the Gentiles comes to fruition, and it ends at the end of the tribulation period with Jesus Christ returning and setting up His kingdom, because, as Paul said in Romans 11:25, "For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel, you anti-Semites." The Israel is not the church, and the church isn't Israel. And blindness only in part has happened to Israel. There's been a remnant of Christians of Jewish descent all the while, and there will be right down to the end. And this mystery is going to continue until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, and that's when the church is removed and God begins to deal with Israel as a nation in that 70th week again. This results in the return of the king at the end of the 70th week of Daniel. That's not the rapture. The rapture, He does not come and land on the earth. The rapture is to take up His bride, to meet Him in the air, and to be with Him forever from that point on. The return is when He comes back with His bride and He lands on the planet having destroyed His enemies, and He sets up His kingdom on a throne in Jerusalem and rules the world. And that's where we'll pick up in our next Revelation study when we get to Revelation chapter 19. Before closing out the study, I just want to thank Brother Jake Miller for the photos and the comments, and really appreciate him thinking of us. He took that trip over to the Vatican, and just pray for folks who actually are over there. We have had at least two people contact us who either work in or around the Vatican itself. We also have a couple other people in Italy who have contacted us, including someone who is coming out of the Roman Catholic Church. And along with that, we have several people who, through the course of these Revelation studies, especially the last two chapters, Revelation 17 and 18, we've heard from several people who are coming out of the Roman Catholic Church and, to one degree or another, have thanked us for these videos that have helped them to see how important it is for them to get out. And if you're a Roman Catholic and you've watched these things, I've tried to emphasize over and over, we don't hate you. We hate the system. We don't hate people, but we hate cults, and we hate those who preach a false gospel. And the Roman Catholic Church is the mother of it all. But we also want to mention that just as Jake sent this stuff into us, there have been various times where people have sent us things. It's very helpful. Sometimes it may just be helpful for me as I prepare for presenting studies, but there are times where we may use it right in our studies, that you'll see videos made as we go through Revelation or whatever book we're studying. Through the book of Galatians right now, as I speak, we'll be going into Ephesians. You may have things that you think might help me in our studies. Now, if it's books, lengthy things, you know, I can't promise you, I'm very limited in time. But if you give me an idea of specifics and quotes, or you can send me a book or something and tell me what page anything in particular might help. But from time to time, there's people who've sent me books that are pertaining to what I'm studying, and I'll read it. Or you may just have recommendations, and I'll try to find the stuff on my own, whichever the case. But don't get your feelings hurt if you sent something in and we don't use it the way we did the things that Jake sent in, because we just can't always do that. And sometimes it gets to us, and we've already passed that point in our studies. We hope to, actually, after we're done with the Book of Revelation, continue to make videos. More than likely, there'll be office studies like I'm approaching you right now in our office. And they deal with questions that people have sent us as they've followed our study through the Book of Revelation. And so keep an eye out for that as well. And of course, if you have questions and things you think that you want to know, or you think would be good for others to consider, send those in. And I mentioned a moment ago our other book studies. I want to encourage you to not just live in Bible prophecy. As a matter of fact, I've prepared a message for this evening. This is Wednesday, and I'll be teaching here in Worthington. We're going to begin Revelation 19 tonight. And the study ends with an encouragement for people to step back from the heaviness of the end times. And to you, I want to say, don't just be a Bible prophecy buff. You should be a Bible student. You should be a on-fire Bible believer that wants to know the book from Genesis to Revelation. And that includes having a very thorough knowledge of Bible study and knowing what's going on in the world today and knowing current events and knowing the plan of the ages and that sort of thing. But that should be part of, because you can't understand Bible prophecy if you're not studying the other 65 books. Don't go to Revelation, expect to understand it, even listening to my teaching, because I don't have time to cover every yod and tittle that is in the book of Revelation. It's impossible. You'll study the book of Revelation your entire life, but you can't even understand it if you don't get the other 65 books. And I'm sorry, but every once in a while, not very often, but every once in a while, I kind of have to get on somebody because they'll just come out and admit that they don't study anything but Bible prophecy. You are going to self-destruct if you do that. We have a series through the entire book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark. We are coming to a close in our studies of the book of Galatians. In time past, we need to fill in some of the blanks, but we got almost the entire letter of 2 Corinthians. We need to add, but we've got a good portion of 1 Corinthians online. We're going in our Genesis studies. We're doing, this is actually the setup I use right now that when we do our Genesis studies, and we're going through the book of Genesis, and eventually we'll have the whole book in an office study and so forth. So don't just study Bible prophecy. Don't just chase after Bible prophecy teachers. You need to be fed from Genesis to Revelation. You need to meditate on the Word of God, and you need to think about what He's done in your life. You need to understand how to know God's will in your life. You need to understand other doctrine. You need to know all the fundamental basics. You need to know more about Jesus. You need to get closer to Jesus. You need to understand the importance of prayer, and that not only for yourself, but intercessory prayer. You need to know the gospel and know it well enough that you can explain it to people and be used of God to lead others to the cross and for them to repent toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. You need to go beyond just the Bible prophecy studies if that's all you're getting. And that's why I just want to encourage you on that. And finally, I just want to end my comments here by encouraging you to be involved in the work of the ministry. If you're a hearer only, James says this, but it's throughout Scripture, it's repeated over and over. If you just hear the Word of God and you're not a doer, you're going to be very disappointed in what God has to say about your life when you stand before Him at the judgment seat of Christ. You're saved, but you'll stand before Him and be ashamed. You need to be busy. You say, you can go door to door, and you can either knock on the door and try to talk to people, which honestly is very difficult these days. The schedules people keep, and people will just not answer the door. But God knows you're trying and you're pleasing the Lord, so why not do it? But even if you don't do that, and honestly, that's just a time, we spend very little time doing door-to-door, but it's because we do so many other things. And then one of the things we do is sometimes we go door-to-door, but we don't knock. And if you really just cannot bring yourself to talk to people, and you ladies, you know, I don't recommend you go door-to-door by yourself especially, but it can be dangerous in some areas. You don't want to be knocking on doors without taking precautions. So maybe what you do is you take the little tract, and we have these chick tracts, for example, but I think you can pretty much do it with any tract. You have to have a big enough rubber band that you can put it through the middle and hang it on the doorknob. And you just have to use good judgment on what size of rubber band to use and all that. And all you do is hand out, you can put tracks, hundreds of doorknobs in a matter of, you know, a couple of hours if you go with a few of your friends. But even if it's just you, set a goal. Say, I'm going to, this 25 in this thing here or whatever tracks you're using, you just set a goal and say, I'm going to do 25 doors a day, 3, 4 days a week, 1, 2 days a week. At least you're doing something. That's what I want to encourage you. If you're not doing anything, do something. And if you're doing something, but there's a way that you can do more, do more. Another thing we've shown is the street ministry. Some of you can go out there with your Bible, and all you have to do is preach. And all you have to do, some repent. Jesus died for sins. Jesus died for sinners. Repent toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's it. That's all you have to say. You're just telling people. And I'm sorry, I'm going to sound like I'm criticizing, but some of the street preachers, people are driving by and walking by, and they're preaching a sermon. That's not, street ministry is just short, sweet, little clips of the bottom line truth. Repent. Jesus died for sinners, was buried, and rose again. Believe on Him and be saved. You must believe, repenting toward God with faith. That means you have to, you tell people, let your past, let your opinions, let your works, let your righteousness and your sins, repent. Just go out on the street and tell people that. You say, well, I just can't do that. Maybe some of you can't. I mean, I've had days where I can't. I have problems with allergies, but asthma and everything else. So there's days where I just hold a sign. We've got a video to show you how to hold a sign. But basically, you can go to a place like signsonthecheap.com. 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 Or BannersOnTheCheap.com. It's the same company. And you can order vinyl signs, and they'll put the little crumpets in the corners, four corners, and then you make the sign. I get them 3x3. And I print, have the message printed on both sides. And then I get PVC pipe with four 90-degree angles. And I cut the PVC. If it's 3x3, then you want 3 foot sections, four of them, with four 90-degree angles. You glue it together. I paint mine black. You don't have to. I just don't want it to look like PVC. It's got the little printing on the side and everything. So it looks better if you paint it. But if you don't, doesn't matter. Glue it together. Make sure you lay it down flat on the floor when it. And I take mine outside, put it on the concrete so it doesn't ruin your carpet or your wood flooring. And let it dry. Then you take the sign, and where they put the crumpets, you can get these little Velcro. I used to have ties. I used to have some right here, but I think I'm using them somewhere else. And you just use the Velcro to attach the sign to the frame, and you're done. And we've got a video showing you how to do that. Then you just stand out on the street with a sign. And my wife and I, she's not a preacher, and her voice, you know, she just doesn't have the voice of a street preacher, so even if she wanted to, it'd be hard for people to hear her. And when I'm having my bad days, it's that way. People sometimes just have their windows up and their radios on, so they're not going to hear you no matter how good your voice is if they're sitting in their car. But you hold that sign, and folks, I'm telling you, it gets read. People read those signs. Don't put on there, you know, you whore, God hates you. You know, please don't even go on the street if that's what you're going to do. But you can put scripture. We just put how that Christ died for our sins, and that he was buried and that he rose again according to the scriptures on one sign. Another sign we quoted, Acts 20:21, repentance toward God with faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. You can also just put Jesus died for you. Jesus died for sinners. Jesus rose again. Tell people the bottom line, fundamental truths of the gospel they need to know. And go out there with your sign. That's all you got to do. And I'm not trying to be super critical. And some of you, you know, you're going to feel really bad. I'm an old person and I've just never done this. Don't cry in your soup about what you've done in the past. Today is the day to begin serving the Lord. I know people who took off like a rocket and you know were going to serve the Lord, and they burned out within a year or two because they wouldn't listen to reason, and they got themselves into a mess by going too far and upsetting people and causing a lot of trouble and hurting their relationships because they don't use balance. Have balance. Let your moderation be known unto all men. But within reason, use your time wisely. And I just want to give you this encouragement. I just felt led to do this at the end of this study to encourage you to make use of your time. Study the whole counsel of God, Genesis to Revelation. Pray, and pray for those who you love and those who you don't love. Pray for others, intercessory prayer. Pray for your own needs. Pray, and then tell people about Jesus in whatever way, shape, or form you're able to. Don't let anybody tell you that there's anything wrong with the way you're doing it. The only wrong way to share the gospel is to not share the right gospel, which is I've made clear there are people doing that. The antinomian gospel, people telling people you're saved by being water baptized, like Duck Dynasty, and in the Roman Catholic Church, telling people to come to the church to be saved through the sacraments. That's wrong. You can do it wrong by doing that. But if you're preaching the true gospel, there's not a right or wrong way to do it, except you're right if you're doing it and you're wrong if you're not. And if you have any questions, or you just want to ask more information, send me an email, send me a letter, and ask me, and I'll be more than happy to counsel you and to help you and to give you some pointers and ideas. I've been at this for 25 years. I learned a lot from a bunch of guys who've been at it a lot longer than me. And I'll be happy to share that information with you. So that's what I wanted to say. And I want to close this study with a word of prayer. Father, we just pray for those who have heard this message and heard the last few minutes, who the Holy Spirit may be challenging. Maybe you were challenging them before they ever heard this, and now you've used this last few minutes of me confronting them with this issue to sort of put the icing on the cake in your dealing with them. Lord, I just pray that people will stop thinking about whether or not to obey you and just obey you. Just do what's right. Find a way. Find a way to serve you, to be committed to all 66 books of the Bible and to everything you've told us in the Scripture, to be committed to prayer and not only our personal relationship and discussing our lives and our needs and our walk with you, but also intercessory prayer and praying for others. And Lord, for getting the gospel out. I thank you for all of those who have supported this ministry. Dozens of people just this last 12 months have contacted us wanting to do more, and we've been able to help them. Dozens of people now giving out gospel tracts that have never done it before in their life in a lot of cases. Just thank you for that, Lord. And I just pray your Holy Spirit would continue to work in their lives. You are with them 24/7. I pray you'll be with each person watching this and to help them. Help them to be bold, to have to understand we're all fearful in our flesh and in our fleshly nature, but you will give us the boldness, and we should just do what's right even when we're fearful, and you will bring us through, and when we're done, we'll be so thankful that we did it. We'll be so thankful that we obeyed you. And Lord, I just ask this for your glory and for the praise, glory, and honor of your precious name, Jesus.